Welcome to this episode of Naked Men Talking, a podcast exploring naturism and the power of getting your clothes off. I'm Gareth Johnson. On today's episode, we're joined by Nicholas Bardem. Nicholas is an award-winning performer in the adult entertainment industry, fueling our fantasies with his sexed-up content. Nicholas, welcome.
Hey, welcome, everybody.
Well, let's start at the beginning, I guess. What led you to start exploring the world of adult entertainment?
Well, that's a curious fact because I started when I was 20 years old. So I was studying university, and my sexual fantasy was to be a porn actor. Let's go back into that moment. That was 2000. So remember that the internet was managed by Gaydar, by gay.com, and all these, you know, like these websites where we could see just the images of the guys. And I was surprised, you know, because for me it was like a kind of way of going out from the closet, you know, in my society. And that was the way I was meeting guys from my city and from other countries. And I started to see, you know, like the pictures of models, and I say, like, I want to be one of them. And one day I decided to write an email to the studio, the first studio that I found that I was following more, you know, that I found more images, that was Lucas Entertainment. So they asked me for my pictures. But in that moment, I say, like, oh my God, do I need to take pictures? And then do I need to bring the film to the laboratory, you know, and everybody's going to see my naked pictures? It was insane because, you know, and then I need to bring them to university to use the scanner. And I was like, oh no. But thanks God, there was a friend that was recently traveled to the States or something. He told me, like, don't worry, I have a digital camera. I think in that moment it was not called digital camera, it was other type, and it was with cards. So he told me, like, don't worry, because we can use the card to pass it to the USB, and then you can upload it directly to the computer, and you can send the images. So I sent the images, and I got a yes as a response. So I filmed my first movie on October 2001, so just 1 month after the, you know, the incidents of the 11th September in New York. I was filming in New York. I was filming with Lucas, and it was for two scenes, so 2 days in a row. And that's how I started when I was 20 years old.
Now, that was a while ago. What sort of happened after that first experience?
Right. So for me, you know, like the porn in that moment was totally different than it is now, because that was my first Viagra that I was trying. So I was they were like, oh, wow, this works. And all the movies were done with condoms. So imagine to have a condom 6 hours. Well, not the same condom, but you were changing. But 6 hours using condoms, it was annoying.
Yeah.
And then I think I was very young, and I wanted to finish my university degree. And I think that I got more focused on that because I found it very difficult to be traveling to the States to film. And I think I was spending more money traveling than, you know, what I was earning. But yeah, if I would be living in, you know, like in the States, probably I would be having a successful career, because I've seen a lot of the porn stars that started after I was shooting. And they are now very important big names, you know.
And why was becoming a porn star something that appealed to you? What was sort of your relationship like with your body when you were growing up? Were you always happy to take your clothes off in front of people?
No. I was afraid of it. Like, for example, when I was going to the gym, I was not like happy to show my body because I was very thin in that moment. So I was thin, I didn't have like a lot of muscle, so I was a twink, basically, you know? But in that moment, I was not feeling like very confident about showing my body. I thought I was very slim or that I needed some muscles, etc. But when I was doing the movie, I was feeling okay, you know, because I was feeling like the other guys. And Yeah, I mean, like, I can see the pictures right now of 20 years ago, and I was like a twink, you know, like a body of a twink that is in his 20s. But yeah, I think that, you know, the body was one of the things that was, you know, like a requirement in the porn until maybe 5 years ago, maybe not 3 years ago, I think, when everything started to change.
That's true, actually. The whole aesthetic of the people who were cast in films was very specific for many years, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was on the stereotype of guys, you know, like the type of guys, or like the blonde guys, or the Latino guys, or the black guys, but everybody needs to have like the same kind of body. But thanks God, you know, like those stereotypes are starting to be gone, because with the arrival of the content platforms, so everybody's starting to do their content, and now you can find all type of bodies, the diversity in bodies, in races, in colors, in ages. So now everybody, if you want to be a porn star, you can do it, starting, you know, with your OnlyFans and your content platform, and then maybe you are going to have the opportunity to work in the studio. Who knows? A lot of studios now are focused on diversity bodies.
No, that's true. And these days you perform quite a lot of live shows as well, and I was wondering, you know, does that connect to a bit of an exhibitionist kink for you? How do you feel when you're performing live shows?
I think so, yes. Yeah, because for me it was like, okay, that in that trip that I went to New York in 2001, so there was a bar called Gaietti Theater. It was like a burlesque theater that was on Broadway. And you could see the guys dancing, you know, like doing like kind of full Monty. They were dressed like a fireman, like police, and they were taking out the clothes. And they finished, you know, with the hard on and dancing, and people was tipping with the bills, with the notes. But and I asked the manager if I could do that. And he told me, yeah, tomorrow you come and you do that. Well, I was not able to do that. I was afraid. I was shitting on my pants because I felt like I cannot do that. You know, I can do that in front of a camera, but not in front of an audience. And I think that stigma came with me until last year when I had the opportunity to do my first show for that. So I went with a guy that was dating, and we went to a bar, and three of our friends that were doing the show. And I think we were so, you know, so drunk and so crazy that we went on the stage with them, and we finished doing the show, the five of us. And at that moment, the guy of the, you know, the owner of the bar, he told me like, hey, you told me that you didn't do show, so you did fantastic. Come and do it next month. And since that day, I'm having once a date, at least once per month, in this bar that is in Torremolinos, and I'm going there every month, and I'm happy to do these shows. And I think, yes, it's a little bit like, look at me, but at the same time, it's more like a challenge, because you need to convince that audience of what you are doing. So at the end, you need to bring them into the game, and you need to, you know, to generate this expectation, because sometimes you do the show alone. So it's not that you're always with a couple or with other guys. So sometimes you need to do it alone, and it's you, the one that is going to be, you know, heating up the environment for the rest to start, you know, hanging out.
No, exactly. But it must be much harder to do it by yourself, isn't it? Because at least if you've got someone on stage with you, that's a bit of a safety blanket. You've got someone to connect with and work with, and you can almost ignore the crowd to a certain extent because you can focus on each other. If it's just you, how do you do that?
I mean, like, obviously you can, you are going to spend some time with your partner or your partners playing around. But you are aware that you need to play with the people as well, you know, that you need to be more focused on the people, and you need to let the people, you know, to touch you, to do what they want to do. So it's like, okay, so in that moment you feel like you are the star, so, you know, like you are on the top of the hill and you are seeing everybody. So everybody, they are like hungry wolves coming, you know, to get to the prey. And you know, like that's a moment that those are like the best 30 minutes or whatever it is the time of the show, that you are feeling this adrenaline. It's a lot of you know, like adrenaline going up. And your energy starts, you know, flowing, and your heart is beating, and you start sweating of the nervous. But at the end, you feel like you have done something nice and that people is happy with what they have done or they have been part of.
It must be a lot of validation, like as well as the adrenaline of actually being naked on stage and being sexual on stage, to know that the audience is into what you're doing and turned on by what you're doing. That must be a really powerful feeling.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It is that kind of, you know, because you don't know anybody. Maybe you know one or two faces because you have previously have a conversation with them. Sometimes you discover that they are your fans, that they are traveling from other cities and they are just coming to see you. So that's a big responsibility because no matter what, you are going to pay attention to them as well because if they are coming to see you, then you are going to give them what they want. You know, like at least a happy face, you know, like something, but it's like a thank you, you know, like you need to be grateful in those cases.
No, particularly, you know, and we've talked about how the industry has changed over the years and the fan subscription platforms. Your relationship with your audience has to be different now. And to be able to connect with people who are traveling to see you do a show, I mean, they're the people who are going to subscribe to your content. You know, you need to really connect with them in as many ways as possible.
Exactly. And some of them, they don't know you. And it's like, oh, what is your name? I'm like, okay, this, no, I don't know you. And then they start following you. Some of them are your subscribers. Some of them, they just see you like, I have seen you in X Hamster. And it's like, oh, I don't have a page in X Hamster. That must be like, you know, like a video of someone who has uploaded, but thank you very much.
Yeah, it still counts.
You know, it still counts, yes, but now it's like, I need to open an account in X Hamster just to see who has my videos, who's earning money with my videos.
That part.
Money that I need to get back. So
exactly.
Another responsibility that we have.
But do you enjoy that entrepreneurial side of the business? Because, you know, it's not just performing, it's not just filming. You know, as you're talking about, you've got to like think about all the administration, the marketing, that building your brand. Do you like that side of things?
In particular, in my case, yes, because my background is marketing, so I have a solid digital marketing experience. So for me, I needed to build the brand. So the brand is myself, the name. So I need to position that brand, you know, in the industry. And when I restarted doing this, that was in 2021. So I say like, okay, we're not going to be one of many others. So you need to go to the top and you need to be one of the best, you know? Mm. And that was my goal. And well, I think I was able to achieve it, you know, like in the first year. And the most difficult part is to keep it, you know, to keep you on the top. Or maybe you are not on the top, you know, because there are others on the top, but at least you try to be like in the top 10, top 20 names, you know, like in Europe or like top 50 names. And yes, you know, you can go to X Hamster, you can go to all of these X videos, and you can see the ranking of the porn stars. And I'm happy to be always if it's global, maybe I am in the 200, top 200, but if it's in Europe, I am like in the top 50 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And part of your brand that you've successfully established is your daddy persona. You've won awards as best daddy. Is that was that a deliberate sort of marketing strategy? Was that an opportunity you saw, or was that just something that fit very naturally for you to embrace the daddy role?
No, I'm going to tell you, you know, like before this, I lived in New York for a few years. And when I was going to the clubs and I was, you know, trying to meet a guy, they were just saying like, oh no, I don't like daddies like you, or something. I'm not into daddies. And I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, brute.
3 years old, you know, how could you say, how do you dare? And then I won the best daddy. And in that moment I was like, okay, so now I'm a daddy.
Officially.
And then the next year I won best daddy again. And I was like, okay, so this is the affirmation. So there's no way to say that I'm not a daddy. So I'm a daddy, and the target is totally different than when you're a twink, because a twink, you know, all other twinks, daddies, you know, like the honks or the jocks or the, you know, like all the tribes that you can have, they could like a twink, but not all of them, they like a daddy. So we have like a very, you have a more, a narrow market. And even as more as you're growing up, you know, the market is going to be more niche. So you need to be aware that which is your market, what which is your target that you are going to prepare your content for, and what do they want to see. So ask them, do you like this? What do you want to see me? I have asked my followers, and they always want to see me with a twink.
Is it? That, yeah. What? That's what it. That's the content they want, right?
That's okay. What they want. Even so that I have tried, you know, doing fetish content. I have fetish content where I do, you know, like other, like I try rubber. I try, you know, filming in a dungeon, you know, like this kind of dumb soup situations. So I do it because I want to have variety as well. But if I don't have a daddy twink in a video, my subscribers, they kill me. Yes.
You talked about the challenge of sustaining your popularity and your success, but surely that's easier as a daddy than if you're a twink. Twinks grow up, twinks get older, whereas daddies, once you've hit that range, you know, you can go on.
Yeah, I think that in my case, I would love to be, you know, like super attractive at when I'm 50 years old, so I'm 6 years maybe. But maybe that's going to be like the time that I need to start retiring. You know, for me, I don't do Botox. I don't do nothing of this. So I'm just keeping myself how I am. As far as I look attractive and the people find attractive to me, that's fine. But I'm the same that if I see myself, you know, like, okay, I'm okay still in the videos. So I don't look, I like what I see. So that's going to be still, you know, like, I don't know, like as far as I am, still good to do that, I'm going to keep doing that.
And as an award-winning daddy, what, in your opinion, makes a good daddy?
A good daddy, I mean, like, I think that then after asking, you know, people from the UK, from the USA, I think that they say best daddy is not because you look like a daddy, it's because of the attitude. How you are dominant with the twinks, for example. No, it's like, oh, okay. So I think that it's more that to be a daddy is more like an attitude, more than a physical appearance. Because it was really funny last year, there were some guys that are 24 years old or 30 years old, and they were nominated as best daddy. And I was like, why, you know?
Objection. Yeah, that's good.
But then now I understand that it's more like an attitude.
And having to put so much energy into organizing and filming scenes with collaborators and all the logistics of all of that, does that make it harder to build real world relationships and real world intimacy? How do you balance those sort of two things?
I mean, like my relationships continue being the same. You know, I have my circle of friends. When you meet someone, yeah, probably for most of the people, they say like, oh, but you work in the porn, you work in porn industry. I say like, yes. And some of them are very, you know, like they say like, okay, but one day you are going to stop doing this, no? I said, yeah, but it's not going to be for you. You know, that's going to be when I decide. I'm not going to stop doing this because I'm dating a guy or because I'm in love with a guy. So that's going to be because I like to do it. And I'm going to stop doing it when I decide to stop doing it. But in the other hand, I have had the opportunity to meet colleagues that before they were like, you know, like my crush. When I was surfing into the porn pages, I used to watch their videos, and suddenly you are, you know, filming with them, and it's like, wow. So I have that opportunity. I think that you have opportunity, you know, when you arrive to a club or to a bar, and they say like, oh, that's a porn actor, so all the eyes are on you, you know, like with the song of Britney, like all eyes on me, all eyes on that. But sometimes it could be good, but sometimes it could not be good, you know. Sometimes it's good because it's easy to start having conversation because they know you, but sometimes it's not good because, you know, like there's, I think that there's a lot of prejudice, you know, the prejudice from the people that, because they think that because we're in porn, we are like, we don't have values like a person, or like, or our moral is very low, or whatever. And I have seen guys that they don't do porn, and they are even worse than us. You know? knowledge in the way of behaving.
No, exactly. Has your perception of your body changed through the filming that you've been doing, through watching yourself and through the feedback you get from people? I guess thinking back to when you sort of first started in porn, has your perception of your body or yourself changed in some way?
Absolutely. And I think it's changed, but you get a lot of validation from the audience, because maybe you think that you don't look like perfect, but the people, they say, oh, a lot of guys with a little belly, or that they are not perfect with a six pack. And you're like, yeah, I agree. So, and in that moment, it's when you start getting more confident. And when you say, like, yeah, I don't need to be killing myself with diets or in the gym, you know, like, there are a lot of guys who do that, fantastic. There are a lot of guys with amazing genetics, fantastic. But in my case, as far as I keep myself, you know, like eating healthy, trying to have, you know, to do exercise and just to keep a good shape, that's fine.
Yeah. I guess my final question is, if someone was interested in exploring a career in the world of adult entertainment, what advice or guidance would you give them?
So first of all, it's like, are you sure you want to do that? You know, because once you do that, nowadays it's like, once you do it, your ass and your cock are going to be in the internet forever. It's not like me 20 years ago that it was, you know, like a DVDs. And if you were lucky, you could find your video in a sex shop or something like that. Nowadays with the internet, it could be anywhere. So, and it could arrive to someone in your family or someone of your friends or at your work or whatever. So first of all, be aware of that. Second of all, it's like, if you're going to do it well. So, you know, don't start just opening an OnlyFans because you want to have sex with all the guys with have OnlyFans. So take it like a serious thing, even if it's not your, you know, like your primary source of income. You need to see this like a job. So you need to have, you know, planning. You need to have responsibilities. You need to have things to do. So follow-ups and a lot of things. So take it serious. Then I think that it could be, you know, like, okay, take care of your health. So if most of us, you know, like, we go each 3 or 6 months to get tested in STD. So now consider it to do it every month or every 6 weeks, because we are more exposed. And first of all, take care of yourself. Second, take care of your colleagues at the productions. And third, take care of the people that they don't work in the industry, but you're still having sex with them. So it's for all three of them. What else could be like that enjoy? You know, enjoy doing it. You know, every time that you are going to have a film, enjoy you doing it, because that's more natural, and that's what it's going to be. It's going to look more real, you know, like, enjoy, have fun, and take the best of that moment, you know, like, have an amazing time. What else could it be? I think it could be like, always have, you know, your steps on the ground. So never think that because you are a known face in porn, you are a superstar, like a Hollywood star. So that doesn't happen. Maybe some of the big names, they are, but the rest of us, we are simple, you know, mortal people, you know, like, we do the same. So you don't need to think that you're superior, or that you have, like, you know, like, just be aware that we are all the same, and don't lose that a sense of being yourself.
That's good advice. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. You can find me on Twitter at GTV London. Today's guest has been Nicholas Bardem. You can find him on Twitter at Nicholas_Bardem. Stay naked, stay sexy, and we'll see you next time. Bye.